Lights. Hello. Welcome, Julie.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm going to sound probably unlike myself, somewhat professional here, because Julie is the legit real deal. Julie Chances is, I'm flattered to kind of say, a friend of mine. You guys, I'm going to her house in a couple of weeks, not to brag.
Yes.
But she's the host of Angels and Awakening podcast that you can also watch on YouTube. And you also are the owner and healing.
Yeah. I own Chicago Energy Healing. And then I just started a new business too with other healers who do the same thing that I do, who I've taught and mentored, and they give readings. And that's Angel Wellness Center. But it's all on my website, theangelmedium.com.
Yeah. And the biggest news of all, I'm so excited. I told you, I just put it in my Amazon cart. I'm buying it today. You just came out with a book, Angels in Awakening, A Guide to Raise Your Vibration and Hear Your Angels. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today.
Yay. I'm so excited. Yes.
Now, for those of you who have been listening for a long time, Julie and I met, I want to say, 4 years ago, 2017, mm-hmm. And it was just by chance. And this is all due to energy or angels, whatever you want to call it. And you guys know me, I'm skeptical about this stuff, but you absolutely changed my mind with just how the universe, how the energy, God, whatever you want to call it, works. And yeah. I am an absolute believer now, not of everyone, but for sure of you. Anything you tell me, I'm like, oh yeah, she definitely has got this down, because you're into the science of it too. So even if you're not religious, which I think there is something, I don't know what it is, if I call that God or universe or Oprah, whatever it might be, the way that you explain it scientifically, which I'll let you do in just a second, but I want to brag about you first. You're just the real deal. And I'm not trying to say this to like sell you guys anything. You'll learn everything about Julie. You'll get to know her here in a minute. But when I met you, it was just through weird chance thing. And I was like, you know what? I am kind of skeptical. Maybe I'll just go see this medium, this psychic, this angel whisperer person that someone had told me about. And I went to go meet you at your old house, which automatically, when I pulled in your driveway, I had goosebumps, because you lived right across the street from the house that my parents built in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And your house I saw from my backyard that I grew up at, like every single day. It was just like the weirdest thing. Like, oh my God, this is the weirdest by chance thing. And then since then, I've run into you almost everywhere, even at a place in downtown Wheaton, the Ivy, which I thought was haunted, that I talked about before, because I got a weird feeling in that bathroom.
Totally is. It totally is.
So, okay. So anyway, we've just become friends and I talk about you all the time. I don't know if your ears burn or you get any like weird little energy things that I talk about you, but I think about you all the time. And I just want you to share your gift with everyone here today. And we're going to even talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. Dinner Party from Hell. And bless your soul, Julie is such a more civilized and better human being. You were like, where do I watch Real Housewives? I was like, oh,
isn't this is my first episode.
She doesn't even know about Bravo and Hulu and watch these episodes. You are so sweet. So with all that out of the way, okay, we're just going to get into this. Yeah. How did you know that you had this gift, or like, what is a medium or an angel medium?
So everybody has different gifts. Everybody is born with God-given spiritual gifts. It's just whether or not you're going to be willing to allow yourself to tap into them. And I saw a study recently. You're right. I love the brain science behind it, because what this all comes down to is consciousness. And what happens, and what spiritual awakening really is that most of humanity lives their life thinking that the thoughts within their head are who they are. When your thoughts tell you, oh God, this bitch, you know, what the fuck is she? I can swear on here, right?
Yes. I just never heard you like swear like that. So
Right. You know, okay. You're at school with the other moms and you're like, what the fuck, you know, with this, we're judgy. Right. Mm-hmm. And we have ups and we have downs and, you know, the emotions and what we're going through in our life are one piece of it, but then they come out through our thoughts, right? And so it's consciousness. And most of humanity believes that the thoughts within their head are who they are, but it's not. There's a deeper layer of consciousness, a different part of consciousness. So you actually have two thought systems within you. Your egoic mind is what we were just talking about, and it yaps away. So from the time that you wake up in the morning until the time that you go to bed at night, there's this judgy voice. Yep, 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 yep.
Right.
And it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
There's another voice within you. Why do people say, listen to your heart, listen to your gut? If there mm-hmm. was just one voice, they'd say, just go think. But we don't say that. We say that because there's another system within us and it's our intuition. So you can think about the intuition in many different ways, but what I see, what the angels show me, is that the intuition is a line of communication that is multifaceted. So what happened was, you asked me, how did my gifts start? My dad passed away. Long story short, we were estranged. I caught him cheating on my mom several times. He was a chronic cheater. I put a hard foot down on that in order to support my mother and distanced myself from my father. I loved my father. I'm so much like my father in other ways that I loved about him. Mm-hmm. And he was still my dad. And so what happened was August 5th, 2015, he passed away from a heart attack. And he was on his third wife at the time. She just saw me as a bad kid, right? Like, I don't talk to my dad. She didn't know the background story. And so she didn't call to let us know because she thought we didn't love him, which really wasn't the case. Right. And so what happened was, this entire month, whole month, I'm combing my daughter's hair. She was in preschool at the time, every day before she goes to school. And I keep hearing this thought over and over within myself. She needs a hairbrush like I used. She needs a hairbrush like I used. And Jody, I am freaking the fuck out because I'm like, holy shit. That one, this thought isn't me. Two, right. I have no idea what this is. I think I'm going crazy and I don't want to tell my husband. I don't want to tell my best friend. I don't want to tell my mom because, oh my God, like, what if they lock me up? You know,
right. I don't right.
go to a crazy house.
Yeah.
So I did, and there's nothing wrong with that later on. And that's a whole nother story.
Right.
Because coming into this gift totally sent me through like a psychological breakdown in order to really accept it because I grew up in a really Christian household. And so, what happened was I started hearing from him. It was him because a month later, September 5th of 2015, I'm at work. I used to work at College of DuPage in the fundraising office. I'm in a meeting with another coworker and I get this call over and over again from my sister. So I'm like, okay, well, something's up. I got to take it. And as soon as she said, Dad's gone, Dad's passed, out of my third eye, which is just like your imagination, I saw this image of him combing my hair in our bathroom when I was a little girl. And he was using this hairbrush that I had not thought about in like 25 years. And it was a wooden handle brush with these boars like bristles.
The old school kind of brushes, right?
Yes. So when I was hearing this thought over and over again, she needs a brush like I used. It wasn't my brush. It was my dad's brush. And he was communicating that to me. So what happens for anybody who has this gift, right? We all have different gifts. People's gifts are different. When you're intuitive and you learn to connect with it, what you're actually doing is learning to sort through and understand what are the thoughts that are coming in from my egoic mind, and what are the thoughts that are coming in through my intuition. Now, the intuition, then the next level after that, and this is what I teach people, is where is that thought actually coming from? So once you identify, yes, it's the intuition, is it coming from angels? Is it coming directly from God? Is it coming from loved ones on the other side? Is it coming from your higher self? Because everybody's soul is omnipresent. And so there's a part of you called your higher self that's always in heaven and can bring through different things. Now, how I differ from other people is I'm still very God-based, right? Call it universe, call it source. You know, I think God is neither male nor female. So I call they them, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is there's a bigger entity, you know, all that is that's out there. And it's in everything. It's in the air that we breathe. It's in every molecule of every physical thing. It's in every cell within your physical body. And if you're listening right now and you're feeling a higher vibration, like you just kind of almost feel like this lifted energy as I'm talking right now, it's because you're tapping into the energetic frequency of all that is. And that's what I call oneness. God's energy, I call oneness, because it's everything. You know, we're all really one. And that's the tool. So you go to listen to the radio and you have to have, you know, a speaker or a radio in order to hear the sound. In order to hear your intuition, you have to learn how to tap into the vibrational frequency of oneness. And that's what raising your vibration is.
And I remember you had talked about this the first time I met you, the first time you did a reading. And let me just say, first of all, there are things that you said and that you pointed out that no one else would ever know. And it was almost like feelings or an energy. And some of the things didn't make sense until later. And I think part of the reason that I was able to kind of even just get in the space to receive what you were saying or to understand what you were saying was exactly what you had just explained, which you explained right off the bat. Cause we kind of like, I don't even know if it was like a full meditation, but we just kind of like sat, you explained things to me and just kind of got in a space. And what has always stuck with me was you explained it much better than I'm about to summon up, but you're like, everything is energy. When a tree falls down and dies, it doesn't just disappear. It is decaying, and whatever that becomes then becomes part of something else. And it makes so much sense scientifically, and carrying that over into, you know, a little over a year ago, my dad passed away, and and we weren't necessarily very close when he was here. But in like the process of dying and going through that sort of thing, there is something that even though like he couldn't speak, there's an energy, there is something that you can communicate with each other. And just having that peace and that understanding that when someone passes, whether you're religious or not, there is something that is still there that you can tap into if you can get to that place where you can feel it or feel like you're not crazy. Like, am I seeing this? Am I hearing this? Am I getting that? And you absolutely helped me get to a place where I would say like, even like my siblings aren't in that place yet. And I am not like channeling my dad. I don't like see him in a vision or anything. But there are different things that you had said, and I'm sure I'm really excited to get your book to see if that is what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling and what I'm hearing. And if it is that thought, or is it something else that's trying to get to me? Does that make any sort of sense? I'm not.
Totally. So, when it comes to this, like, I get a ton of emails. We probably get over like 200 emails a day right now. And most of them are prayer requests. But the second biggest question that we get is about signs.
Yeah. Like, I was going to ask,
is this really my dad, you know, and, or is this really my mom coming through from the other side? And there are big signs and there are smaller signs, but they're all signs and they're all connected to your consciousness. So some people call them angel numbers. Some people, you know, the cardinal that you start seeing, it's attached to your consciousness. Because again, if you go back to think, as you go through your day, there's this conscious stream of thought, the egoic mind. And to be fair, the egoic mind's not bad. It has kept humanity alive, and we could talk about that for hours.
Right.
But we have to evolve to a greater level of understanding and a greater level of thinking in order to move forward and evolve as humans, because we're kind of in a stuck place and you see it within our world. So what needs to happen is we have to shift. And how does spirit get us to shift out of that conscious stream of thinking? They start to bring in signs. When you see 111 every time you look at the clock, or you see the 11s everywhere on license plates, on receipts. You know, when I was first coming into this, my husband didn't say, "Oh, you're crazy," but he goes, "I just think it's a coincidence." He go, you know, we were sitting in the car. It was raining one night. We're having this discussion. And he's like, "Julie, I know that you think you're seeing this, the ones everywhere you go." And it turns out ones are a sign. When you see a lot of ones, 111 or 11s everywhere, it's a sign of spiritual awakening. So he goes, I just think it's synchronicity and you can't change my mind on that. And I go, okay, you know, I'm not trying to change your mind. So he pulls into the gas station to get gas for my car and he's filling it up. And literally the price was 11.11111. And he goes, and he knocks on my car window and he puts the receipt up there and he goes, "Okay, maybe they're trying to tell me something."
right. Okay. Can I tell you something really, well, I'm not going to say ironic. I have a cardinal sitting right next to me right now, which I know is, and it's weird because normally this is outside, but I brought it in just this morning. So I'm like, "Oh, it's getting cold out," whatever. Because I know cardinals are a common thing that people use when someone passes. I think it's like when a cardinal is near a loved, or when a cardinal is near a loved one is dear or something, whatever that rhyme is.
When a cardinal appears, a loved one is near.
See, I told you she was way smarter than I am. So when my dad passed, I had told my mom and my brother, and actually my sisters about it too. I have two sisters and a brother. And my mom and my brother like really took to this cardinal thing. They had no idea that it was a saying, that it was a thing. And my brother went home and he looked out his window. He sits at his same desk working from home all the time. And in this bush that had overgrown, there were two cardinals sitting in there. And he couldn't believe, he's like, "I've never seen that before. And had you not said that, I would never," I would have been like, "Oh, cardinals." But he was thinking so much about like, I really want to make sure dad's okay and all that. And I remember you had brought up the numbers, and I think you gave me a website too, that I wrote everything down.
It's Joanne Sacred Scribes. So if you are like, go to Google, and if you want numbers, there's a woman who channeled out the meaning for all numbers.
Yes. Like so every combination, crazy.
Yes. Joanne Sacred Scribes, number index is what you want to Google.
And I remember when you were talking about signs and things, and this is just from the one reading we had together. I remember all of this. And when my dad had passed, I got into the cardinal thing. My brother did, my mom did, but I didn't tell anyone this. But when my dad had passed, he's passed early in the morning. We went home, everyone went home to get some sleep. And growing up, my dad had always forgotten my birthday. Oh gosh, if I get choked up, I swear I'm going to be okay. he would just always forget my birthday. And so after he passed, I was like, "Dad, when you send me a sign, I want it to be my birthday, which is June 14th. So like, I want it like 6:14, just somehow, some way. And I kitchen, I woke up and it was 4:16 in the morning. And I was like, oh, close. That was close, Dad. You know, and I was like, and sure enough, then later it was 6:14. I woke up at 6:14 in the morning, and all the time I will see 6:14 on the clock or on a receipt or a combination of 4 and 1 and 6 all the time. And my sisters are having the issue that it sounds like some of your listeners and people take your courses, like, how do I get these signs? And I remember you telling me to like, just be specific. Don't be afraid to be specific and say like, this is what I need to see, or this is a sign I'm looking for. Because like for them, they're like, it's not the number thing. It's not the cardinal for me. I never see them. I don't get that sort of a thing. And I'm like, just right. Be specific what it is that like means something to you that you are going to be conscious of. When I see this, I know it's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be open to it. If you don't see it. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You have to be open. And I had one listener, because we tell angel stories, like people getting these signs and what that really looks like, every Thursday on the podcast. And there's one woman who's like, I know, a green dinosaur. Dad, I want to see a green dinosaur. And so she said, because we don't have any in the house, you know.
Right.
And so her daughter like came home from school one day and was like, Mom, I made this card for you. And she opened up the card and in it is this green dinosaur. And she's like, and that's how they work. They come through our family. They come through our friends. And I think the story was too, then it her coworker bought her something as well. And it was a green dinosaur. She's like, I don't know why, but I was at this marketplace. I saw this and I felt like you had to have this green dinosaur, but they will bring it through.
Yeah.
And you have to be open. You know, Jody, I was like watching Spirit said, I needed a break last night. I was working. The book had just come out. I spent all day just trying to promote the book. And I said, I just need a break. And they said, go over, sit down and watch, turn on Eat, Pray, Love. So it's a movie I own. I turned it on and it was like in the middle. And they said, write this down. And it was at the end where she says, in the end, I've come to believe in something I call the physics of the quest, a force in nature governed by laws as real as the laws of gravity. The rules of quest physics go something like this. If you're brave enough to leave behind everything familiar and comforting, which can be anything from your house to bitter old resentments, and set out on a truth-seeking journey, either externally or internally, and if you are truly willing to regard everything that happens to you on that journey as a clue, and if you accept everyone you meet along the way as a teacher, and if you're prepared to face and forgive some very difficult truths and realities about yourself, then the truth will not be held from you. And I thought, that's such a beautiful way to say how to be open.
Yeah, that's just how to say be open to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, not feel like I'm going crazy. I'm weird. No. What is this? And my husband is not as evolved as yours is, because he still thinks I'm nutty at times. So I'm like, look, it's 111, it's 1111, or it's 444, which is another one I see a lot, 444. But he's like, well, it's because you're normally getting dinner ready at that time and you look at the clock. But for him, I get it. Like, that's not his thing. But for me, it's just sometimes even just like a snap to like, okay, the world and your eternity is way bigger than the thing I was just thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, like, get over it. Stop calling yourself fat, whatever. This is not what it's about. Snap out of it.
Well, what's so cool is that they're now attaching brain science to all of this, and they're able to really look at the brain and what the brain looks like before people dive into spirituality, and then afterwards, people who live with a sense of hope, a sense of faith, a sense of belief, and people who do not. And the brains actually look different, and you can actually see that. And I don't want to say like it's a healthier brain, but they're putting science behind this now, mm-hmm. where it's a different way of living. And even Albert Einstein, I believe, said there's two ways to live life. One, as if everything is a sign, and two, as if nothing is. And it's just fun. You know, it's really yeah. fun to be in this constant dance with the universe, with source, with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your session that day was unlike any I've ever had. Your session, the session Sorry. I had with you, no, in a magnificent way, like you changed my life so incredibly much, where you came in. And remember, I had that table up against the wall, the massage table. Right. I've never had it where spirit has actually taken, like put their hands on my face and moved my chin, but they kept taking my head that day. I'm like trying to work on you, and they keep moving my head to look over. Remember 5-6 years ago when YouTube was just like one station within your house, like one chair and like a background.
Right.
So yeah. Spirit had me like, you're going to get your message out there. So I'm thinking, okay, well, they're talking about YouTube because that's all I know. So I set up this YouTube space, ring light and everything. Back when like ring lights cost $500, you couldn't get them on Amazon for like 50 bucks.
Were you opening up packages? Isn't that the craziest thing?
Oh my God.
Kids watch unboxing. Oh, that's wild. Yes.
So they're pushing my head every time I'm working on you to look at this YouTube station. And I finally say to you, what do you do with YouTube? You know, they keep having me. I didn't know what a podcast was.
I don't think I even told you until we are done. Oh no, I think I know what did. It was. I think I had emailed you or called you afterwards because after I had done the Patreon episode, I was like, oh my God, you guys, I had this session and I was so skeptical. I probably cried during the episode. I haven't even re-listened to it. It's 4 years old. And a bunch of my listeners were like, oh my God, what is her name? I have to get a hold of her. And I was like, oh God, I don't want them to call you and then be like, oh yeah, we heard about this session. And you're like, who is telling everyone all our business and like what we talked about? So I got a hold of you. I was like, just so you know, I didn't say anything bad. Like I am totally believing. And you're like, oh, what's a podcast? What is that?
Yes.
And then I met at GMIA and I was afraid that you could read my mind.
Oh my God. You're like, oh my so God. Funny.
Like I have to adjust my bra strap. Can she, does she know what I'm thinking in my mind right now?
No, but this goes into that episode. So you had me watch my very first episode of Real Housewives. And it's this episode where Allison, this medium that
Allison
they actually-
Allison Dubois. Yeah.
Yes. You want to set this up? You want to tee this up?
Yeah. Well, let me let you finish your thought. Sorry. Yeah. So you were looking at you like your YouTube station. And then when I said, oh, I have a podcast, you're like, oh my gosh, that's why I kept getting this image of broadcasting or a camera or a microphone.
Yeah.
Well, and it all came together.
Yeah. And then they were like, you need to go out to lunch with her and learn this podcast thing. And you were so sweet. You came with like a mic and you gave me my first mic.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You taught me, you like sat with me for an hour. You taught me how to like do it. And
oh, your poor husband. I'm like, oh, she needs to install something. Sorry.
Oh my God.
We were bugging him to come down and everything. Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened to me. No, that was amazing. Changed my entire life.
Oh, well, you changed mine too. I mean, in a different way, honestly, because I definitely would not have been, I think, as open and as comforted when I've lost other people in my life. Cause I just know because of all these different things that I've been open to that there is way more than what's going on here. And that helps in everything, even in the superficial stuff, which speaking of Real Housewives. So Julie watched The Dinner Party from Hell. And this, just so you know, is an iconic episode. Like you ask anyone about Real Housewives and they will probably bring up this episode with Allison Dubois and the morally corrupt Faye Resnick. So I had you just skip the first part of the episode because it was just whatever, but we have the ladies arriving and really all Camille Grammer, who is Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife. I don't know if you caught that part of it. She just says, this is my friend, Allison. that show medium, that's her. They use her, you know, as a writer, as a resource. And she really went off the rails during this, which is a shame because she is a legit medium, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. For sure. Well, when you tap into her energy, this is what I think happened. Well, I mean, you have some insight like into the background behind how they structure things, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not reality. It's,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure that they went to Allison and were like, you know, this is your night off, you know, you don't need to do a reading, you know, and they're telling her, you know, you just chill, drink, smoke, do whatever it is that you want to do. And so she's just being her, relaxing and having a night off. And they might have even told her, don't do a reading, period. Mm-hmm. And then they're telling the other girls, you know,
what a great opportunity.
Right. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, we have to get something on tape, you know, you have to get something out of her. So I think it was kind of a setup in a way, because that's not her energy at all. Like if you tap into her energy, she's actually a very high vibrational person. She has a lot of great content. She is who she says she is.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
She and Camille Grammer are not friends anymore.
Oh,
they've kind of gone their own way.
Yes.
Gone their own different ways. But I think she drank way too much, and that puts anyone in a different frame of mind.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine. She probably didn't need to do the prep work going into a reading that I'm sure mediums and psychics you have to get in a right frame of mind, right? To be open to anything.
That was the one thing that really confused me because Camille said at the very beginning, like the more she drinks, the more she brings through. And I go, no, that's not even possible. Because it's interesting. When I drink, the portal to that information closes. And so I always tell people, like my girlfriends, I'm like, I don't like read and drink, right? Or I don't drink and read,
right?
Because it's not really possible. You have to be in that oneness energy. You have to be in this energy connected to source in order to bring through information. So that didn't make sense.
See, that does make sense for sure. I mean, just anyone's thought process when they're drinking. And if you're trying to gather information, and she was almost like predicting things, like I can see this happening, that happening,
well,
which
that
I didn't
was the
think
other
is like
thing.
A medium thing, right?
Well, so it's different. People have different gifts. Like if you watch Teresa Caputo, her gift is really actually connecting and validating in order to help people believe in the other side. So her gift is, if you remember, she started, I think, in about 2010, 2011, and humanity as a collective at that point really needed more belief and faith in the other side. The belief in church and the idea of church has been waning and the numbers have been dropping. And so that is something that people need. My gift is different. When you come in to me, my gift is your spirit team is there automatically. I see who your angels are, your loved ones, your guides on the other side. And what they'll say is, listen, Jody's stuck in this way. We need her to be here. And here's where she's at. And here's where her egoic mind, where she's self-sabotaging, where she's getting in her own way. And this is everybody. I mean, we all do this to ourselves. But I need her to know this about herself. I need her to see the bigger picture. I need her to see where she's going and the steps on how to get there along the way. And so when people leave my courses or working with me, they have a deep knowingness within my heart. Nope, I'm not going to let this self-doubt get in the way. I know this is where I'm going and this is how I'm going to get there. They have clarity. Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say your mind is cleared and it just puts all that other junk. Like for me, I would use the word perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, just all that other stuff is away. I got a better perspective on things. And I do think about that session all the time. And I know through your courses, and you have different courses for different things that you might be interested in, or that you feel like, wow, I feel like I'm kind of gifted in that. Mm-hmm. That's something I feel like I can pursue, or that I can get through that block of why am I not feeling how I'm supposed to feel?
Yeah.
Why can't I get to like a higher place in my meditations or whatever it might be? And I do think a lot of some of your advice that you have brought up in some of your podcasts. And again, I just going back to that same session, because even just one session that I had with you was so just mind opening or soul opening. And I remember you bringing up that, I'm trying to put it into words because it is so hard. I remember you saying, like, you can almost tap into that piece that you were talking about earlier, where part of your soul is in heaven. It's mm-hmm. not just like you're here on earth and that's it. Yeah. And that, like, you have visited heaven. I don't want to make it put the,
oh, no.
the yeah, words you... in your mouth, but like, you've been able to tap into, like, I know what's there. Mm-hmm. And it's not scary. It's no. just another part of yourself. And since you have brought that up, it's taken me years to get to that point, but I really do feel like I have had dreams, but like, I know it's not a dream. It was so right. realistic. And I'm like, oh, that was just like another part of my life. Like I just kind of got that view, or I was just there and now I'm here.
Yeah.
And I would have thought I was going crazy had I not heard you talk about that before.
Well, and they do come through in dreams. One of the episodes that we have coming up is the sisters, the Harvey sisters, and it's three girls who just lost their mom. And I had a session with them, and then I'm going to put the session up as a podcast episode, but then I just talked with them afterwards because they have this beautiful angel story. And I'm not going to get it totally right, but it goes something like this, where one of the sisters said, "Mom, I need to have a dream of you. Like, I need to see that. Mm. I need to know that you're there. I need to have a visitation dream." And she goes to sleep. She has the visitation dream of mom, and mom says, "I see your sister. I gotta go, but I'll be back." And so she runs to catch up with her sister, and she saw her sister out of the corner of her eye. So she calls her sister in the morning, and she's like, "You'll never believe what I had this dream." And the sister goes, "I had a dream too." And she said, "Let me tell you this first. Mom came running up over to me she said, to let you know, she'll be right back." And she did have another visitation dream of mom, but that the dream crossed between two people's consciousness, the exact same dream that fit together.
Right.
As they slept.
Like, see, and now people who might say, like, well, that was just by chance, or they were talking about it, you know, oh, I don't know if that was really it. Like, you wanted to see that person in your dream, so you made it happen. And to me, even if that was the case, even if, oh, we're talking about it now, so then tonight I'm going to have a dream of that person doing the same thing. Even if that's the case, why can't it also be true? Mm. Does that make any sense? Like, does it matter the reason?
Right.
Does it matter that it's just irony or it's just by chance?
Yeah.
It really doesn't have to matter. If you put that negative, pessimistic, just voice, just for the sake of it, just put it to the side and be like, but what if?
Right. Jody, I'll tell you what it all comes down to. I've been studying this for the last 6 years. And what it all comes down to is that we use words in everyday life. But what energy healers do is they learn to perceive a different language, which is all vibrational. It's all energy. Everything is energy that vibrates. And there's two basic energies, that energetic states that you can be in at any time. You're either open or you're closed. And if you are closed, no, that's not a sign. No, that wasn't real. There is no way for me to change your mind or anybody else. I don't care who you're talking to. You're in a closed energetic position. If you are open, life changes. Mm-hmm. And life changes in a way where a year before I met you, I was sitting in my office. I had built up my career. I had the pay I wanted to be making. I had the title. I had a team working for me. And I was in a good place of success on a trajectory to be at the top of my career eventually. And I remember looking outside of the window thinking, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing with the rest of my life, but being so scared to go into something different. And I just trusted. I just trusted the energy, and I remained open to God has a different plan for me. And I didn't do it on a whim. I did it smart. I had a part-time job as I built up my side business into a full-time gig that has taken off beyond my wildest dreams. Right. But now we're getting about 1.5 million downloads a year of the podcast.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And,
I mean, like, yeah. I have a team of 14 people that were working for me, and it's crazy. Like I say, it's crazy. There's no other way to describe it. And I wouldn't have been able to get here without just trusting that God would show up and there would be these little miracles like you coming into my life along the way. But when you do trust, the universe right. will show up.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for your book. So I haven't even seen anything. Is there like workbook pages or anything for people who are a little bit slower like me?
No,
or
totally.
Who need to see things visually? Because I do a lot. Yeah. I'm always like jotting things down or a word or something that was just really profound, or like, okay, that just makes no sense, but I'm going to jot it down and I'll think about it later, which was not me 5 years ago. I would say I was probably a little bit more closed because
yeah,
still wanting the same thing, but also it really takes a lot off your back when you do just kind of have this, like, I'm just going to be open and I'm going to trust it. And if it fails, whatever it might be, whether it's in work, career, your kids or whatever, like, it's going to be okay. Like, I have what it takes to kind of get through this.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your book, because I'll probably have it completed by the time I see you in 2 weeks.
Yay. So everybody was like, on my business side, they were like, Julie, you're so, you know, kicking yourself in the foot to just do one book. So it's a 2-in-1. It's a book and a workbook together. But I don't care. Like, whenever there's a companion workbook, I get the companion workbook.
Right.
And then it's always somewhere else in the house. And I'm so ADHD, I never go and grab it. So I really am proud of this book. I mean, it's not like one of those teeny tiny, I self-published like a 75-page book on Amazon. This thing is huge. It's 8x10, normal size print.
Okay.
And it is 232 pages. And you go through, and it's two different parts. So you have to learn how to get into this vibration in order to connect with your angels. And so the first part teaches you how to get into that vibration. And if you need it, I have a separate course with different meditations and live workshops that you can connect with me on. So you get into oneness. And then from there, you're tuned in. And oneness and this energy is just like reading. It's a skill. Once you have it, nobody can take away your ability to read. You have it. So once you're able to get into this energy, nobody can take that away from you. It's a skill that you know how to do now. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the book is what people are kind of calling an angel dictionary. So it goes through all of the angels and it describes them, because each of the angels were made for a different reason. They have different purpose, different roles in your life. And like, if I went to a fitness trainer and asked them to be my chef, that would be misusing that person, right? Or if I went to a chef and asked them to train me physically in the gym, they don't know how to do that. Same with the angels. They were created to help you in very specific ways. Like Archangel Raziel, I don't know if you know this, but every time that you see a rainbow, that is a sign from Archangel Raziel that when you're frustrated in life, like you don't understand the puzzle pieces of your life and how they fit together, or what's coming next, that he's trying to point something out to you.
Okay.
Archangel Gabrielle works with your voice and helping you to open up and really live your joy and step into your true authentic self. So what I say at the beginning of the book is that it's not a book where you just open it and close it within a day. It's meant to be marinated in. It's meant to be a resource for you to open and gently work on one page, two pages. I got it broken down into 12 weeks so that you really get to know your angels. Because think of it like this, Jody. Think about it. If you went to my family party and met like 25 of my relatives. Right. And then the next day I call you up and like quiz you on it. You might remember a couple people's names, a couple of things about them, but not much. Right. But if you went out to lunch and you got to know all 25 of those people, you'd have a deeper understanding of who they are, what they're about, maybe right. how you could collaborate with them in the future. And that's what it's like with the angels. So yes, you could pick up the book, open it, close it. But if you really sit with it, work with it. That's why I wanted the workbook pages to be right there so that it's almost like this angel journal for you at the end. Right. Because by the end, what I do is I have this worksheet where now you know, okay, here's all of the angels on my spirit team. Here's all of the ways that they're working with me. And here's the signs that they're showing me. Here's how they're showing up in my life. So now when you're done with those 12 weeks, you go back into your life and you see the rainbow and you go, oh, Archangel Raphael, like you're tapping, your presence.
Tapping yes. into that energy of...
You're seeing the signs, right. you're knowing what they mean, and you're deciphering the messages for yourself. And that was like what I wanted to arm people with is, yes, there are signs and here's how they're working with you. And now you have the tools and the skills to be able to see it in your own life and work with it.
Right. I am going to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
That I had people ask. And one of them goes along with this perfectly. And I've wondered this too. Is your spirit team, your angel team, is it always people that you know who have passed? Or even if you didn't, let's say you had like a great grandmother or something that you never met. Do you have to have personally known those angels yeah. for them to be your guides? And could they be after they pass?
Yeah. So I have to say this in order to answer your question.
Sure. Yeah.
So I have two basic programs. I have my Angel Reiki School where I teach people how to develop their own unique gifts so that they can work with clients themselves. And then I also have my Angel Membership Program, which is two things. So if you're in like the monthly membership, you have live access to me almost every week of the month. And then you, in some way, shape, or form, we do healings, we do like small group work, different things. But then you also have access to my whole Year with Your Angels program. And it walks you through your entire spiritual awakening. So when I was going through my awakening, I didn't know where to start. And the angel said, put together these 12 courses so that people know. I had to accumulate over years just all of this information. Well, one of the courses that we just went through, and it's accessible 1 week at a time when people go into the program, is healing your inner child. And what most people don't realize about healing your inner child, because we're triggered, right? And you can right. see that. I mean, going back to that episode, like Kyle has deep, deep triggers you can see in there. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer's wife, deep.
Right.
I mean, triggers are somebody says something and it's a deep wound. They're pressing a deep button and you just want to like,
yeah,
on them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that comes from a place that stems from something within you. And a lot of times in order to get to that, you have to notice where it comes from, your ancestral trauma. So in the beginning of this course, I walk you through your ancestry, and it always goes back three generations, your parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Now, it does not matter if you were adopted and didn't even know your parents. Their higher selves are still part of your spirit team, and you can connect with them. Your great-grandparents who you never knew are part of your spirit team, and they are connected to you. So to answer your question, absolutely not. Like, do you have to have known them in order for them to be connected with you? No, your spirit team is so much bigger than you could possibly realize.
Well, and still, just because exactly what we were saying earlier is that the energy is always there. It's not like it just doesn't exist. And if you are someone who's looking just at the psychological aspect of it, it does go along with that, with energy and spirit, because whether you're thinking like, okay, well, I'm just going from like the Sigmund Freud of it all. Well, of course, my parents were raised by their parents and their parents. Yes. But there's also, they were doing the things that they said or did because it's part of a whole bigger picture.
Right.
You know? So again, it doesn't really matter what school of thought you're coming from. It does come down to either whether you believe the science of it or the soul of it. It's true. It's real.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were talking about angels, like let's say if you're not religious and you are not thinking like, oh, St. Joseph, you know, upside down in the yard when I want to sell my house or whatever it might be. Is there another way to think about your angel team besides just Saint, you know, Saint Isaac, Saint so-and-so?
Oh yeah. Well, it's fascinating because they also have like ascended masters that they call them, right? Like Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, all of these. And you could be of one faith and come into a session and you have these ascended masters from different religions who are actually part of your spirit team. Like you have a lot of Mother Mary energy with you.
I do.
You do. Your dad, did he pass before or just shortly after your son got sick?
I'm going to start crying. He was actually diagnosed with cancer the first time my son was in the hospital. They were in the hospital at the same time. And he passed away a couple months before the second hospitalization, which is really what we found out what was going on, the big picture. Go ahead.
No, because he keeps showing me this link. And I know that what I know what you mean about like how he was kind of just like emotionally distant as a dad throughout the years. But he's not that way on the other side. Like he has gone through a karmic life review, and that is not us sitting in a movie theater in heaven, watching our life on a TV screen. It's actually, and this is what a lot of reality TV show stars need to realize. It's actually, we step into the bodies and the minds of people that we hurt intentionally here on this earth, and we reabsorb. Karma is us reabsorbing the hurts that we caused and seeing things from a different perspective. So your dad had to hop into the bodies of all of his children, of your mom in certain instances, and absorb the hurt that he caused. And that rectifies the relationship between you and him as souls. And so he is like, because he's very attentive, like he's very much in tune. He's very much emotionally there now. And I feel like he takes a lot of pride in being a grandfather. And what he comes through saying is that he keeps flickering to this image, like 20 years in the future with your son having this family. And I keep seeing him have this house and these kids and himself and having this dog that's always right by him too. But he keeps showing me like he's going to be okay. Like everything is going to be okay. And he keeps saying that you've been really hard on yourself, because I know that you could have gone a million different directions with your career too. And sometimes maybe this thought comes in of like, but I should be here. Mm-hmm. And what he said is, but you couldn't, because your soul contract and what your soul knew was that you were going to have to play this role for your son. And it's not just taking him in for doctor's appointments or transfusions. You're holding emotionally the weight of everything that he's going through, and emotionally, energetically keeping everything stable for the entire family. And that takes a ton of energy. And he said, you have no idea where you're going to go later on. He said, this is a hard period. This is tough. You know, it's tough to be a mom. It's tough to have some of these years where they need us so much. But he said, you have no idea. Do you have the thought of writing the book yourself? Because he just opened up your book in the future.
Oh gosh, I've never thought of writing a book, but I don't know what I would write it about. But I just have to say, you hit on something that a lot of people probably didn't know about my dad. And he and I were not particularly close, but he was like fiercely proud of his kids. I never felt that way, or because we didn't really have that bond, because he had different emotional and financial and work things kind of going on as I was growing up. I was the youngest, but I mean, anyone would tell you that he would kind of be that annoying person that would talk about his kids or his grandkids too much, where you're like, oh God, like, I don't want to get stuck talking to this guy.
Yeah.
He really was like that, where we'd be like, oh my God, I would go save that person because he's just going to keep talking and talking and talking. So that absolutely makes sense, what you're saying, especially about his grandkids. Like, you know, even though he wasn't necessarily able to connect in that emotional way that he wanted to,
yeah,
he would always say, like, you have no idea how much I love you. You have no idea, even though his actions sometimes wouldn't, the follow through, the actual acting on it wasn't there, but we all knew, like, oh my gosh, you know, he's like a bleeding heart dad, you know, he loves us so much, but just there was that disconnect. But I kind of had a
I did not mean
this at all. You know, he was in the hospice last little bit of his life. He was at home, and I had told him, like, after he wasn't able to speak anymore and his eyes were closed, because I always hear, you know, hospice workers will tell you, like, the last thing to go is their hearing. So don't ever feel like they can't hear what you're saying. And I almost felt like we were able to have our souls talk to each other, even though it wasn't like verbal. There were moments when he and I were talking to each other. Sorry, this is horrible audio, you guys. But that we were able to say things that, you know, we were never able to say. Like, I forgave him, and, you know, and I said, I do understand that love between a parent and a child, because I am a parent. I do know how much you love me, and I forgive you for everything. And, like, it's okay for you to go. And I know once you pass, we'll actually be closer than we were here. And I do feel that. Yeah, it's a bond and a relationship that I never had when he was here that I feel like we have now, where I almost feel bad that my sisters don't feel like they have that yet. You know, again, or it might just be that they're close to it, or they don't know how to tap into that, which is why I'm excited to actually have them. I'm actually buying them all the book too. I'm going to give it to them at Thanksgiving, so that there is that way to tap into it, so that when we're here with each other now, like, we have that opportunity now, mm-hmm. when we are here, to build those relationships with each other.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I get off topic a little bit.
No, can I go a little deeper with you?
I feel bad for crying. I wasn't prepared.
No,
sorry.
No. Can I talk about something that's a little sensitive? You've talked about how you're like your surrogacy, right? Yeah, with the audience. Okay. Uh-huh. Did you have, like, was one of them a little girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the first one.
Your dad keeps talking about her, and I don't know if he totally didn't understand at the time your calling to do that, but that's something that he keeps flickering to in his life review, that he completely got it. And he keeps pointing to your soul, like contract, your life plan. And he said it was part of your life plan. And he said you knew with every ounce of your being that you were supposed to help other souls here bring their family through. And he said sometimes you think about her in an endearing way where you just like you're connected to her soul in a way, right?
Yeah, and more so in the second. Yeah, for sure.
Well, and it's her soul sometimes that's thinking of you, but I always see butterflies as he's talking about this. So he wants you to know that as you see the butterflies and you think of her, it's nothing more than your soul just wanting to send her loving energy and her towards you. Because there is a soul friendship on the other side, and there's a lot of gratitude from her part that she sends you. It's funny because her higher self is friends with your son, and she also comes through saying that he will be just fine. And not only that, but he is very much a healer in everything that he's going through. And there's healers in every line of work, right? But to be a healer is to be of service to humanity in some way. And she said what he's going through, he has to go through in order to get to that point in his life where he's able to touch the lives that he's supposed to touch. And so that was coming through. There's also something where there's a question that you've been having, or maybe you've been even asking the other side. There's a couple of different ways in your husband's career, his energy line splits, where he could go one way or the other. And it's coming up over the next 6 months, 6 to 8. And what they keep saying is that you're not supposed to know exactly right now, but it's a jump up 110%. And what he needs is that faith and that confidence. You speaking like those words of faith into him, because
I'm going to write down, be nice to Dave. Because he's going to like this one, Julie. Well, he's going to like this one a lot.
I mean, you know, even like the most manly of men, sometimes within themselves, they have self-doubts, or, you know, they just need that extra boost. And when we speak words of faith into people and say, this is where I see you, I know you're going to be here, they hold on to that. It overrides their own egoic mind, and energetically they're able to get to that point you're telling them they're going to go. And so your dad said, don't be afraid to like speak those words of faith. Because he does have it. That's where he's going. It's where he's going to end up no matter what. It's just how many times do we hit our head against the wall before we allow ourselves to go where we're going?
No, that makes a lot of sense what you're saying, just to validate what you're saying. And you and I have not talked about this at all. We see each other like at Target or something, but no, actually his company is going through like they were bought by another one, and they're kind of restructuring, and he's been traveling to the Middle East, which he didn't necessarily do before. So it makes sense. I mean, it's all kind of right in line. And my dad was always looking out for actually Dave and his job, because my dad had a lot of issues staying employed and being employed. So like work was always a really big, don't do what I do, what I did sort of a thing. So I could see him bringing through, make sure you got his back sort of a thing.
He's on your husband's spirit team too. So he shows me this bubble of protection around your husband, and your husband doesn't have anything in his energy like your dad had, those ups and downs. Your husband is on like a straight upward trajectory all the way towards the end of his, you know, to the end of his career. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We just have to get out of our own way. And what your dad just said, and sometimes, you know, we really just have to ask ourselves and allow ourselves to be really honest. Like, what do we want? You know, if he doesn't want to be doing all this traveling, he doesn't have to. Maybe he loves it. You know, whatever mm-hmm. it is that he wants, he can do. But sometimes society's projections of like what we should be doing or where we should go take precedent in our own minds, not what it is that we really want.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is actually another question. And yeah. you talking about this brought this up for even myself to ask this question. So if you have someone in your life, for example, I'm going to use Dave because he's, we're like the yin and yang. I'm the emotional, you know, I'm the highly excitable, or I can have my low lows, you know, that's me. Mm-hmm. And he's more the, I always say like nothing moves the needle. He's just like the steady right here. It takes a lot for him to like laugh really hard, never really cries. You know, he's like the steady motion one. And going with that is because he's not highly emotional or highly in tune with that. How do you get people in your lives to be more open to receiving messages? Or is that our job? Like this person had just said, if my partner is not open to spirituality and mediums, how do you get them to that point where they will be open to it and not think you're crazy?
Yeah. So here's how I work it with my own husband, because when we first got together, he would say he was atheist. And I know through and through he's my person in this life. Sure. And then he kind of changed and he said, I think he calls it agnostic. And he says, I think that there's a higher power, but I'm just not sure exactly what it is. Okay. And so I'm like, okay, well, I get that. And so here's how I look at it. Let's say you and I are best friends. It doesn't matter. You could apply this to your mom, your best friend, sure. your husband. The way that I see my husband is think about a circular pie, right? You take the pie and you split it up into a whole bunch of slices. Well, okay. that pie is my life, right? I am the pie. And I need a partner who's going to be there. My husband is amazing. Like mm-hmm. he is so clean and organized and sweeps like every single night and, you know, oils the stove. You know, we have like that black part on the top of the stove and like he keeps it oiled and does all of this stuff that I wouldn't even think about. Like he's the best father. I don't need him to fill my spiritual piece of my pie, right?
Gotcha.
We don't have these conversations that go really in depth into the other side. And I share some things with him, but it took me almost an entire year before I told him, you know, about the mediumship piece within myself. But, you know, one person in our family tried to say something to me or kind of poked fun at it at a family party. Uh-oh. And it was the loudest I've ever heard my husband get. And he didn't like shout or anything, but he was very protective and he jumped in there and he said, you know, you don't do that to my wife, basically. And so he's protective of me. He shows up for me in that way. He gives me the space to be creative and to have that spiritual outlet. And he'll show me like with that receipt, that 1111111, mm-hmm. I might not get it. I might not understand it, but I trust you. And I think that you're helping other people. And so run with it and do your thing. I want to tell you one other piece about this because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. Spirit had told me from the beginning, don't push him, you know, like don't try and purposely like bring it up all the time in conversation in order to get him to a different place of growth. It's not how he's going to grow. So, last year, this time, I was like, what do you want for Christmas? You know, and have you ever heard of transcendental meditation?
Yes.
Okay. So with their business operation, they charge based on the amount of income, but they're basically charging you for a 1-hour session where they teach you basically what I teach you in my $19.99 book, okay. My $20 book, how to get into oneness. Okay.
Okay. But don't they give you a mantra? Like everyone gets their super unique mantra that you're not supposed to tell anyone. Okay.
Everybody gets their own mantra. Yes. So I went through the program too, but my husband comes to me last Christmas and he goes, I want to learn about transcendental meditation. And so, he has been practicing the whole year. Like he likes that form, that version. Awesome. You know, like that's what he likes. Perfect. Go with it. But he came up with that on his own. Like it was none of me pushing, but he sees the benefits of meditation. Like he sees it working in different ways in his life. He's got more ease. He's more relaxed. Mm. So you don't have to push and you don't need somebody to fill. Like, what was that bullshit movie with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger? Like, you complete me.
No one
fucking completes you. Like, your best friend complete you. Your husband does not complete you. Your mom does not complete you. Like, you complete you. So what are all the pieces that you need? Now it's your responsibility to go out and find areas that fill you up in that way.
Right. I was going to say the same thing. And I didn't want to put any judgment or relationship advice, because I'm not a relationship expert at all. But to me, this would be the same thing. Like, you don't have to push them. And this brings me to a show that I know that you watched, and I'm almost done with the third season now. You.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
There's a lot of talk that comes up all the time about soulmates. And I think if someone believes in soulmates, like you have that one person, I'm all for whatever you want to believe in that it works for you. But kind of going along with what you were just saying right here, I think in my life, I don't know whether like I believe in a soulmate. Like I know Dave is my person in this life and he fills certain buckets, whatever you might want to call it, but it's not everything. Like me believing in this and feeling energy and sensing that, like that doesn't have to do anything with him necessarily. Like I don't need him to think it's like normal, you know. I don't care if he thinks it's goofy or it's wacky or whatever. Like it shouldn't have to matter. And just like I know he's not going to come to me for business advice, because I am not the person for that. You know, I'm the person that when he's having a really crappy day, I can kind of go off and say all the things about the people that he can't put the words to. And he's like, yeah, exactly. You know? So I don't know whether exactly what you're saying, that you need that person to be 100% with you, agreeing with everything all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like you could be my person that I'm talking to about these certain spiritual things. And going along with kids, someone had asked a question about, is there a time that's too early to talk to your kids about mediums and about, they had written ghosts, but I think what they mean is like spirits who have passed on.
Yeah.
I guess what's your opinion on that? To me, like, I feel like we were saying with Charlie, like, I feel like I can talk to him about like, oh, grandpa, or he'll say, oh, grandpa just sent that.
Yeah.
Where I know he would never say that to Dave, and he and I can have conversations that I may not have with my daughter. I guess what's your take on that? Or do children, are they more open?
Yeah. You know, they are more open, and I actually don't think that you can start early enough. I think that we have to, the way that I present it with my daughter is in a different way. I don't take her to church per se, because I experienced a lot of patriarchy in church, a lot of sex, like, like stuff that I didn't want to happen kind of went down. Or not personally to me, that I kind of saw in different ways. Like youth groups, what is the deal with people thinking it's great to send co-ed youth group overnighters? The amount of blowjobs that were going on back in the day, like, and I was just so grossed out and I was just so naive. Like this is ridiculous. And we didn't talk about it, right? Like I had a pastor's son who pulled down his pants and showed me his penis at one of these, like, and he's like, what do you think about this? What do you think I think about this? I'm turning and leaving the fucking room because we're playing hide and go seek in the church at 3 a.m. Like, I don't want to see
that.
Oh,
I'm
that.
So glad I was a loser. No one asked me to go to a youth group.
Oh, really my happy. God. I mean, it was just such a toxic place. And then, you know, guys asking girls to do things while other guys watched. Ugh. There's a lot of women out there who are sending their kids to youth groups thinking that it's a really safe place. And the amount of toxicity there, mm-hmm. they do not realize what's happening in the background.
Right.
So I don't encourage her to go to these places where we're saying, oh, I've got this chastity ring and then all of this right. other shit is going down behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I started out with her when she was like 3 or 4 years old being like, oh my God, look at that sunset. You know, like every time I see a sunset like that, I say, thank you, God, you know, for you and just feel this gratitude. And it's energy. When you feel right. gratitude, you express that. And when you feel insecurity or the need for prayer, you know, teaching mm-hmm. them how to pray and teaching them that there is a higher power. I don't care if you call it God, universe, source, whatever. It's right. all that is. It's everything. It's everywhere. And there is a magic to that and teaching them to look for signs. Here's what I will say is that my daughter has opened me up. She's 10 going on 11 to this new generation wants to go deeper. And so if you're going to go down this path, you kind of have to understand it yourself because now she wants to go to the crystal shops and she wants angel cards and she wants reads all these books on ghosts and different things. So mm-hmm. I think it's Spirit Hunters that she was reading and I bought it for her on Audible. So I was listening with her. And right. I was like, just so you know, this isn't real. like they're not going to come out of the mirrors. And yeah. just so you know, this isn't
Bloody
real.
Mary, Bloody Mary, yeah. Bloody Mary. Although I swear I did see her when I was younger. I still don't like being in a bathroom with the lights out. Like I'll run out.
Oh,
I still
dude.
Don't like it.
I know. Those are low vibrations. We could do a whole nother show on that, like diving into that. But when it comes to kids, like talk to them and talk to them about everything. You know, I had to have a tough conversation with Elle yesterday. I read this article in People magazine online, and it said that a 10-year-old girl had committed suicide. And this is just in the magazine yesterday. Because she was being bullied at school. And so I went to Elle and I said, listen, you know, this is happening, you know, and I heard about a 9-year-old that, and I said, do you know what suicide is? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what is it? And she said, when a person takes their own life. And I said, I need you to know that daddy and mommy could not go on with our lives. We right. can't. And I was sitting there crying and then she started crying. But I needed her to know how special she was. I needed her to know that if she ever did that, and I told her, you're going to have times. I said, I'm telling you this because mommy has had suicidal thoughts in mm-hmm. my lifetime. Life can just be real crap place. And she goes, I know it's hard. And I said, it's hard. Yeah. And I said, Elle, there have been times that this thought comes into my head where I say, I don't want to be here anymore. And that if you attach to that, if you let yourself believe that, you can go to a very dark, negative place really fast. And I said, if you try and tell your friends or if you try and tell somebody else, they might not be able to give you the help that you need. I said, you have to come and tell mommy and daddy and we will help you. We'll mm-hmm. get you the help. But I don't think that we can have these conversations about the other side, about emotions, about all of this too soon. I think that they need to know because the suicide rate is getting lower right. and lower. And we have to look at the emotional state of our children and realize that our spiritual health mm-hmm. is just as important as our physical health and our mental health. And we're not shining a light on that. It's part of what's missing. And if we take that into account, and listen, I don't feel safe sending my kid to church. but I can bring that spiritual health in different ways. It doesn't just have to be church.
Yeah.
But they need it.
Right. And it might be, now this is going to like a parenting podcast, but you and I both have kids. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm probably more along with where your husband was, like agnostic something, but I grew up, I went to Catholic school and all that. Lots of problematic things with the Catholic Church and, you know, go and tell a priest your sins alone in a room. And you're like, just thinking of like, okay, what can I think of things that I did bad? And I'm like, I didn't do anything bad, but I have to think badly about myself. There's lots of things with that, but I think just starting from a young age about like that consciousness, what am I feeling? Is it angry? Is it anxiety? Oh yeah, I get that too. Like I talk with my daughter a lot about that, that thought that's going around and around in your head, just be like, okay, stop it. Anxiety. I got it. That's not me. That thought I'm having isn't me. It is, it's an energy. It's something that's poking at me. Separate that and let's talk about like what's really going on. Talk to someone. And I think that does then open the conversation to whether this person wants to talk about mediums with their kids or not. Don't just spring it on them when they're like 15, right? Like, so what do you think about mediums out of nowhere? If you never talked about it, it's going to be a little jarring. Okay, I have two more questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, because I could keep you here all day. Okay, so someone had asked, they just put pets question mark. Oh. So I'm thinking they're wondering like if your pets can come, if they have an energy beyond, or if your pets can read your mind, or if you can speak to each other.
Yeah. So Archangel Ariel is the one that works most with pets. And if you have a pet that's going through something, you need to kind of give them help or energy. She is the one to go to on that. When we talk about animals crossing a rainbow bridge, the only rainbow bridge I see is for animals who don't have an owner, deers who pass away in the wilderness, you know, dogs or cats that don't have owners and just are kind of outside. When we have an owner relationship with a pet, then there's a connection there, a soul bond. And even if you didn't, some people are wondering, what if I didn't really like that animal? Yeah, I was just going to say, like, oh. There's still a place for them. That might be
my dad talking to you. Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't say he hated my mom's dog because the dog hated him. It was like reverse roles. My dad would bend over backward for Max, and he was just such an asshole to my dad. He was the worst.
That dog is with him at your dad and mom's house on the other side.
Great.
But they do, like, we do have homes on the other side. Everybody has their own physical home. And we do have our animals that we're soul bonded to over there with us.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Yeah. Okay. And the other question was, and I knew this was going to come up because I had said I'm having you on and I was having you watch Dinner Party from Hell. There's questions and they just put a bunch of names. I'll throw these out here. If any of them to you sound familiar, let me know. And the first name they wrote down was Maura Murray. Do you know this case at all? It was like a college student. She went missing, and Allison Dubois, who's in this episode, was called to go to the location and get a feeling of what happened because she just disappeared. They've never found a body. Some people think she ran off and started another life. Some people think she died in the woods. Some people think she was kidnapped, murdered somewhere else. It's just a total mystery. Allison's feeling, by the way, when she went to the scene was that she was taken by someone she knew and killed elsewhere. So and then the other names, people, they write down JonBenet Ramsey, Madeline McCann, and Gabby Petito. Well, I think we know what happened to Gabby Petito, but I think what they're getting at is, do mediums or do you have the ability to look at a person's picture or a crime and say what happened or give clues to the police?
So that's not my gift,
Okay.
but there's a woman actually locally in our area who that I, her name is escaping me right now, but my friend, she has a shop, and my friend was like, I think you really should meet this woman. So I remember we went over there one day, and so we got to talking, and she's like, oh, you're a medium too, you know? And I said, yeah. And I said, you know, there's this little boy that's around you. Who's the little boy? And she goes, oh my God, it's a crime that I've been working on for like the last 5 years. He's with me all the time. And so, but it was true, like as I described the little boy to her, and she goes, well, tell me about him. So I told her all this stuff, and she goes, that's him. So I think as a mom, I'm so close. Like, here's what happens. You start to develop some PTSD. I've worked with people who have passed in every single way, shape, and form, where a gentleman who went on a bachelor party with his guy friends up to a lake house in Wisconsin, dove off the pier, hit his head, passed away at the bachelor party. You
Oh my
know,
gosh.
different suicides, people jumping off bridges, you know, I've worked with people who have passed in every single capacity.
When you say you've worked with them, like you've been able to
Yeah.
connect with them. Okay.
Yes. And so what happens is when you're working with them, a lot of times they'll take you through their passing. And so I am experiencing death over and over again and how they've passed in all these different ways. And you start to get to this point of PTSD where it's hard to let L leave the house and not be like, okay, now don't do this and do this and watch out for this.
Right.
And I think if I was working on those scenes where you were so involved in the knowing of
And
the
you're
crime,
there, you're with the family, you're
because you
holding their
have to live
items.
with the energy of it. And it's hard because you constantly feel the heartbreak. When you work with a person who's committed suicide on the other side, the amount of grief that they feel for what they did is so intense. Those sessions, I'm almost always crying my way through them because you have to feel it in order to be able to connect with it and express it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're feeling and you're do you see the person? Is it a mental picture or is it hard to put into words because it's an energy, you're seeing it, hearing it, feeling it?
So a lot of people talk about how this happens, and they'll talk about the four clairs: clairaugnis, clairaudience, claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairsentience. And they place way too much F and emphasis on this. What happens is it all blends together eventually. And so I feel, I hear, I see, and sometimes I'll get a knowingness. And I've just been doing it so long. That's why I have to sit with my Angel Reiki school students when I'm teaching them how to do this. And we have like 4 weekends, dates where I sit down with them and walk them through. And then there's like
Okay.
online coursework and stuff too, but it all starts to blend together of like how it happens. It's like reading. When you read a book, your eyes are scanning the words on a page, but you're actually saying those words to yourself within your head. Most people
Right.
do. If you read something detailed, you're going to get a visual within your imagination. And if you're reading the book, you might get a knowingness within you, like, oh, this is coming up. This is what's going to happen. It's not like you sit there and say, well, I'm reading this book, but I'm just hearing it. No, it's all flowing together. And that's why they call it giving a reading, because it's actually a lot like reading. You're just not reading words, you're reading vibrations.
Okay, I have one last question for you. I
Yeah,
promise this
yeah.
is the last one, and
No,
I
you're
want
good.
you to remind everyone where to find you. And I'll put all the links in the show notes too. I'm assuming they're saying you, or a legit medium. Would they tell you how you're going to pass?
No.
Do you get the feeling sometimes, or do you know? For example, Alison Dubois was like, I could tell you when and how you're going to die, and I love that about myself.
Yeah, that was a bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But can you? No, like, can you?
It robs you of your free will. They're not going to rob you of your free will. The other side does not make decisions for you. And this is where things get really sketchy. And I understand people like our husbands who are kind of sensitive, because there's a lot, and this is where I get defensive about it, because there's a lot of bullshit people out there who are just trying to scam you and make money off of you. At the end of the day, this is about your healing. Mm-hmm. This is about you having a more clarity of who you are. This is about you being able to be more open to life and its magic, instead of constantly feeling self-doubt or closed off. And what happens is, if anybody tells you exactly what to do, because people come to me and they get frustrated when I say, yes, leave, you know, I'm not going to tell you yes to leave your husband or no, stay with him, know? And so I put that very clear on my website. I'm not here to make your decisions for you. That is your free will. And how you pass would change everything about the trajectory of your life if you knew when and how.
Right.
Telling when a person is going to pass when you're an energy worker or a medium is one of the hardest things to do, because it comes down to your free will. Unless a person passes in a tragedy, which is very quick and sudden, what ends up happening is there is a dance at the end of life. And it feels a lot like spirit and the angels always show me girls playing double dutch. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, right? You're like,
when do you jump
mm-hmm. in, right? And if you talk to a lot of people about when a grandparent or their parent passes towards the end of the life, sometimes they go back and forth for mm-hmm. years, and it can be very time consuming, and actually almost, they hate to say it, but a lot of my clients would say frustrating, because there's all this time that you're taking off of work to try and help that person transition, but they're not ready. Right. Your dad had to prepare for his passing. He mm-hmm. had to be in the right energetic place. He had to make peace through those unspoken conversations that he had with you to be mm-hmm. able to be ready to be on the other side. And that's what it is at the end of life. And nobody gets to say that when you're ready, but you.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't believe that everything is solid, like it's all written in stone and nothing's unchanged.
Right.
Otherwise, that discounts free will. Then what is free will?
Mm-hmm. So, and I also just think too, it could just be like, I just want to use the word toxic or dark to be like, well, how am I going to pass, or how it just seems like it would do more damage. I'm thinking, if someone told me that, it would do way more damage than good.
Right.
It's not going to give me any peace or be open to anything if I know in the end. It just kind of narrows the focus instead of opening it.
Right. Well, and at the end of the day, what you and I know about Hollywood is that and we've had these conversations with different people in LA. I can tell you which shows are pretty much, you know, scripted, and it's almost all of them, because they have to, there's some things that they do, but they're getting what they need for good TV in order
and it's
to
hard
sell.
To recreate something that's organic and spontaneous, but but hopefully we're still keeping our fingers crossed for Julie on the big screen.
I know, but I'm only willing to do it if it's like authentic, right? Like I don't want to do
and
a scripted show. And
I just touched base the other day with Larissa, and she's like, "Oh, have you talked to Julie lately?"
Her.
I'm like, "I'm talking to her soon." I'm sure she's listening right now. I was just texting her earlier too. She said to say hi. But she said the same thing. She's like, "Unfortunately, the TV business and movies, it's hard to get something that is real, because it is so, you have the craziness of like the 90 Day Fiancés, where they do want just this, they want to know what's going to happen.
Right.
Even though it's reality, even when it is like a Teresa Caputo, there's pressure on her, like, oh, it's got to be a good episode. Like, so then it puts pressure on her and the people who are filming and everything.
Yeah.
But
she is the real deal. I worked with her teacher and took some classes with her teacher. Ooh. And she is the real deal. But I think that there's parts of every show where they have to capture certain things. Like if you watch the very first episode, I think it is, of the Long Island Medium, her daughter gives it away. She's in the grocery store with Teresa and she's like, "Mom," there's a point where it's very, very subtle, but you can catch her saying it and it's very quiet, but she's like, "We've been here for 3 hours." And so they were in that grocery store and I don't know if it was 3 or 4 or 6 hours,
yeah,
but they were in that grocery store that long until they captured the 30-second or 1 minute clip needed. That they needed. Yeah.
Oh. So when you go into the Jewel Osco, do you
it happens all the time.
Produce?
Oh my God. The first time that happened, I was at Subway. I love a good tuna sandwich for Subway. Yeah.
Dude, the Subway closed in Denali.
I know.
That's a classic. I was telling my kids, I'm like, that was there when Donata first went up. That was like the OG. They didn't fully appreciate it. Anyway,
I had to go to Glen Ellen now for my subs. Yes. So I was at Subway and this guy's dad just kept coming through and he's so young. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be hard because I mean, to bring through to like a high schooler that your dad is coming through. So I started talking to him and what I ended up doing, and actually it was really beneficial as a healer to watch Teresa's show because I learned what I liked and what I didn't and what I wanted to do different. So I would end up creating business cards. And so I would be like, listen, this is what's coming through. You don't have to tell me if I'm right or wrong. There's no cameras here. I just wanted you to know if you want a session with me, I will gift that to you because I believe in what I do. Just give me a call. And so what I tell Spirit is if they need me to come through, let me know. I'll give the person the business card. They can call me for the reading and I will absolutely honor that and do that. But I don't want to make a person cry at work.
Like, yeah, he's just getting his cold cut combo. His $5 foot long, and always gotta go back to school, right?
I know.
Well, to bring this full story all around, I think that must be where our connection. I don't even want to we maybe went and got a facial in quotes at the same place. Something.
Oh, are you willing to say it? Because I go for Botox. Yeah, yes, I love my Botox. Oh my God. I love Botox. Like, what did people do before Botox? I fucking love it. Yeah, and
natural, by the way. We're not like Real Housewives looking. I need to get my ring done. But it was that woman, and I said something, and she said, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I had someone in here earlier, and she gave me her card. And that was how it was, where I think you had just said to her, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I'm getting a message from someone. Mm-hmm. So here we go, full circle. Okay. I will talk to you for another hour and a half if I could, but I know you actually have a life outside of me crying, like spilling my guts to you. So where can everyone find you? Just spill it here.
Yeah. So there's different people who need different things. If you are a healer and you're like, I've been wanting to find the right person, listen, there's different Reiki programs out there. They're not going to teach you how to develop your spiritual gifts. I channeled a whole program for you to learn, not just one of your gifts, but what all of your gifts are. And, what happens is you go through it and you come out of it with a business idea of here's how I can connect all of my spiritual gifts and help serve humanity, help serve people. If you are going through your spiritual awakening and you need community, you need to find those people that you're going to be close to and friends to really talk about this with. That's my angel membership. So it's a monthly program. You have live access to me multiple times every month. You get an entire year's worth of content 1 week at a time where it walks you through the entire process of spiritual awakening. And Jody, most people people charge $800 to $1,000 for these courses. And I know because I've taken them to see what other people are offering. I know a lot of people, I know $111 is a lot to a lot of people, but I try and keep my prices as low as I can so that you get, because it's really just about healing. You're not in this for the money.
You are so generous and you really, truly, and I'm a horrible salesperson. So you can trust me when I am saying, like, you are the legit real deal. You want people to be open and to just be better. Like you said, just be better, because when you're better, you can give to other people. And it just is, it sounds so cheesy, but like a worldwide community of just everyone just being good people, just good people who love each other. And we have way too much hate in this world right now. I mean, that could be a whole other thing. And I don't want to taint this podcast with even thinking about it, but really you're not trying to become like a billionaire over this at all.
No. And you know what? Most of the money that does come in, I put right back into the business to create different things to get them out. Like it cost over $10,000 for me to get the book out. And that wasn't even marketing or my time or any of that. So then we got the book, and the book just came out. And the way that books work is they only keep selling if you keep getting reviews. So if you buy the book and you keep, you write a review so that other people know that it's a solid book, they will keep showing it to other people. So yeah, if you purchase the book on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, you know, by the time this probably goes out, November 19th, 2021, we'll have it up on Audible too.
Yay. Well, I'm going to put this up today. So
yay. Head over there. Yes. So write that review, please. Thank you.
Yeah. And your podcast, Angels in Awakening.
Yes. And the book is called the exact same thing, Angels in Awakening. And I have a voice disorder going on right now, which I'm working with a voice coach on. So I'm not doing sessions so that I can keep up with my courses and teaching those. But I have a whole team of healers that I have trained, some of them for years. And their gift is almost identical to my gift. And then they have other gifts. I have a medical medium on there. I have a woman who is way into the woo, and she will go very, very deep with you. Kara is a lot like my gift. So is Karen. Karen is also a medical medium as well.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm sorry for crying.
No.
I mean,
tears are release. Tears, you just need to let them go. Yeah, you got to let them come out. Yeah.
That's very true. Any last minute thoughts?
Everybody has angels, and your angels are working with you every day. And their job, like your guardian angel's job, is to know you better than yourself. And if you're one of those people who wants to go to a medium or like read your cards every single day, I'm telling you, there is a better tool out there, and it's working with your angels. And this book will teach you how to do that. This book will teach you who all of your angels are. You just have to take time to read through it to get to know who they are, their signs that they're showing you. And you have the ability to bring through messages for yourself every day and live in a different way, because that's a different life to know what messages are as you're receiving them.
And you did emotionally fulfill us. So know that.
Oh, yay. Amen. It's a lack of air in her pocket. She wears a cross around.